Hello everyone and welcome to our podcast episode. I'm Diana and together with my fellow students Benjamin, Rashi and Ida, recently on February 21st, we had the opportunity to sit down with Nina Longstead and Essa Nukan from the Leafcraft in Newland Without Steelwork Association. Both Nina and Essa come from a tranquil town of Inko, located in the south of Finland. With a population over 5,000 people, Inko is renowned for its natural beauty, making it a haven for families seeking fresh air and peace. However, the peace of this picturesque town is under threat now. A new steel plant proclaimed to be a new leading European ultra-low carbon steel project is about to be built and change it all. This development has sparked concerns among locals regarding increased cargo ship traffic in the harbor, potential air and water pollution, and the overall impact of the environment and community. In this episode, we'll delve into how the residents of Inko have come together to advocate for the preservation of their home and shed light on the potential harm the new plant project can pose.
Okay, welcome everyone to then our podcast interview as a part of the Sustainable Organizing in Times of Crisis course. We have esteemed guests Nina Longstedt and Essa Nykänen of the association Livskraft i Nyland utan Stålverk, RF. And let's start with a brief introduction of ourselves. My name is Benjamin Airavan. I'm a Hanken student in my second year of my master's studies, and I'm excited to interview you guys regarding this subject that is something that we've been looking at as well for different modules of this course. Who do you have with me?
Hello everyone, good evening. I'm Rashi Agarwal. I am an exchange student at Hankan, and this is my I am a first year master's student, and I'm really excited about this whole idea about sustainability because it's my first time studying that, and I'm also excited to interview Nina and Essa and garner their perspective on this. So I'm looking forward for this. Thank you.
And very nice to hear. Nina.
Yes, I'm one of the guests, Nina Longstedt. I am an organic farmer from Inko.
Yeah, lovely, nice to meet you. From Inko, almost 2 years now. I'm a researcher by profession, and joined the association because I felt I have to.
Sounds great. Let's then just dive straight into the questions. We would like to commence this whole interview by asking you guys about the association that you represent and that we've gotten to hear about through our course teacher. But basically, the main question that we would like to start with is like how you got started with Livskraft i Nyland utan Stålverk, and what were the leading things that made you realize there's a call for action or a need for action to start this? Was it the Blaster Steel project or something before that even, maybe?
Well, actually, it was the Blaster Steel factory or the news about it that there were in the beginning, there were no critical voices at all. And we were kind of missing those voices. The only phrases that we could hear from media was like, best news ever, time to celebrate. We get a steel plant to Inko now. And I made an update on Facebook asking if anyone else is having doubt about this. And I got a lot of answers and we just decided to meet. And that's where it started. Maybe, do you have a different story, Essa?
Yeah. Actually, I could go to a few definitions because it's my way of working, and we can refer to these ones later. So, like I said, I realized of the magnitude of the plans, which was insane. I took a look of this environmental plan. So it's very obvious that even educated people do not have the time or skills to read the environmental plan. It's about 200 pages. Even for me, I'm used to plans or papers, 300, 400, whatever. somebody's been writing it, so I can read it. But but for average people, let's say whoever in the community, it's easy to then to listen to marketing material of the company, and they, you don't even have a question of the lack of definitions. For instance, like Nina mentions, there's a fine comments like best available technologies are there. Yes, sounds good or what? So you should be aware of this, but BAT is a directive, and there is another from year 22 paper which actually defines the best available technology and so forth, and it gives the exhaust amounts that are okay to air and sea, so they are acceptable. So for instance, steel plants, this brings to air SO2, lead, cadmium, quicksilvers, etc., and to see some metallic, oily, and same heavy metals as air and more, which are, by the way, environmental poisons. Mm. And according to this best available technology directive, it's okay. It shouldn't sound spooky already. Then there is a mention that, for instance, sorry, I put some background for our discussions here. IED directly, which stands for Industry Exhaust Directive. It refers to these BAT things. And then they also say that, for instance, exceptions are okay if it's too expensive to clean something. And then there is a text that the environmental benefits are, if the better than the high costs, it's okay. Mm. Okay, and then in the story, you may have or not have noticed that this sentence, that these exhausts are actually over the limits, are called in this comparison as environmental benefits, which is insane in this directive sentence. So we are talking about the poisons that are okay to put to air and sea. Mm. And this is like now the which needs definitions before going to discussions, and that's what we haven't done. This is just an example how the facts you need to define before you can do any expressions. And by the way, this had now nothing to do with the CO2 that you refer to in your other questions. That's why I started with this. But also the CO2 savings. It's said that the factory is saving, but in fact it's more to finish scale. Mm. So that's producing more CO2. At the same time, that existing steel factories in Finland are in the waiting list, and they are included to the Finland National Environmental Strategy from 22. So the situation already is bad in Finland. We know that we are, if you have been following newspapers, that there is a gap between the so-called political value and the target value, which is negative, about 4 million tons CO2. So we don't need any extra, let's say simplified, about 1 million, what this new factor stands for. So in your questions later will be, it's a local issue or not? This is not inco-local issue, this is like Finnish, if it's defined as local level. Mm. So very, very short. The power plant in Inco before that is referred to, has been here, it has been dirty. Now the steel plant is dangerous for environment and people and so forth. Mm. So the CO2 savings, if there were old plant is the only good thing. Everything else is terrible. Sorry about these many sentences, but now we can refer in the coming questions to these ones.
No, but I think it was a really good walkthrough and very important walkthrough. Yeah. And I will kind of upset the order of questions here by jumping straight up to our eighth question, because you were saying some things that were kind of, in my opinion, reminiscent of a thought I had, like when we think about electric cars, for example, we think that when you drive an electric car, it seems outwards like it's very green. But then if you charge your electric car in a way that's not very green, would you say this is kind of similar to your thoughts recently?
This is much worse. Sorry to say. This is totally different. So again, this CO2, what is easy to discuss. So we are like dealing with global warming. It's one thing. It's in this case, if compared to old one, it's okay. But everything else is like steel industry is the most poison industry in the world. Mm.
We will also go into questions regarding like basically
please go forward. Yes.
Yeah, no, don't mean to rush you or anything at all, but like when you think about I've read some articles where there have been Nina Askotin interviewed, for an example, and then also trying to relate to some things we've been talking about in our course. So I won't go too much into the example on screen currently about avocado plantations that we'll be talking in school in our courses, in our some examples. But for an example, would you say that we are in, as a society, also when Nina started explaining, would you guys say that we in Finland as a society are kind of blind to these kind of changes happening, like the one, the blaster steel in Inko? Like, is it some kind of blissful unawareness that we have?
Yes. I would say that I don't know if I would use the word blind, but at least we are not critical enough. Well, we just heard Esa, and he is critical enough. But it's just easier to look the other way and just hope, kind of hope for the best. Mm. And I think that we haven't yet had a lot of bad experiences. So that's maybe why we are not critical enough.
That makes a lot of sense. I'd like to continue this. Yeah, go on, Esa.
This was very good, Nina. So like we moved with my wife here precisely because of the, you know, decent sized community, nature. So it's a kind of dragging force, and there is a keeping things that this is a good place. So nobody could like ever think that kind of big, this kind of, I don't curse here, is in the plan, any kind of in this kind of city, because the size is like enormous compared to what is next to the plan. So it's totally no, it's like incredible.
To continue on the same theme, like we have a follow-up to our question number two.
Yeah.
As you can see the map on the left, I kind of thought the same thing as Nina just mentioned. If you look at, of course, well, Finland don't have as big of a population as some of these countries that have a lot of dots there on the map we see there, but basically take up different environmental justice things around Europe in this screenshot case. So basically, as like the close thing, no, well, I feel personally a little bit blissfully unaware, since the closest thing to Uusimaa that's, or Nyland that's on the map is Outokumpu there on the left-hand side of the Finnish coast. Mm-hmm. But basically also something that Nina mentioned in an interview on Yle that I was reading, like basically, would you have any more things to say that like basically around the how susceptible we might be to lobbying practices if there's a financial win for an area, but they don't think enough about the impact on the environment at the same time, and like how there can be some kind of unconscious biases against these kind of movements, because they're like, oh, here we go again, but then they don't really take that into account when they really should. How do you feel about this?
I could maybe continue with that. I'm sorry I did put too many bombs in the beginning, so it's easy.
No worries.
I realized from your questions that you don't are technology minded. So really about the fact that we are talking about the poisons. We are talking about the things that go to the nature and stay there for generations to come. So you kind of shouldn't at all compare anything and economic out of that, because it's like it shouldn't be so.
No, not really, no. I mean, yeah, but basically my thought or reasoning is when I think about a company like that, they try to make their whole idea why it's good for them to be there. It's green because of this, and this is why. And that's why I really like the opportunity we have to interview you guys, because you will go, of course, later on to an example of how you counter the statements of Blaster and emissions and stuff like this in a more data sense. Well, actually, we can jump there straight away. We can go into that so we can have a logical continuation in the discussion. But basically, what I was referencing was the screenshot on the right there about how actually something they state is something that seems to someone who's not really that experienced and knowledgeable about the field, in comparison to you as someone who is more knowledgeable about this data. What would you think about this?
We have been collecting data just to show, you just pick one of the picture, it was like week 13. We have been weekly data, and then this kind of lighter picture to get the basic information. So precisely on the left-hand side, you see the curve. It's from the national strategy 2022 from the minister paper, and there is gap already. So and links are there. So, but it's very hard to get people to get interested all the way to read the links and so forth, because more and more we are all used to have anything in, let's say, max 1 minute or 5 seconds and then go on. But these are just facts and figures that we put it side by side of a statement somewhere and then how to compare somewhere else. So it's very important. It takes time people to digest.
Yeah, and I really think it's really a strong statement that you don't really think about straight away is the fact that both of you have talked about how the documents they provide about the impact they actually have is a super long document that people don't necessarily read properly if they're not fully invested. And then that kind of becomes like a, how should I put this eloquently, somehow of a thing that they are showing that they're accountable, but then they don't expect people to challenge the facts. Kind of that's an important realization that you mentioned and also that Nina have mentioned previously. Do you have any other thoughts on those documents and data, perhaps?
It's just as you say, and it's also a question of democracy. That it should be presented in a way that it's available to all, but it's very hard to and people don't have the time and the knowledge.
Everything according. We have a nice legislation in Finland, and all these things like this environmental plan is in the ympäristö.fi. So are the comments that are official asked. They are in the form next week. Impossible to read to normal reader. So it takes time and hours and days. And there are professionals who are dealing with these papers, but you cannot like expect normal community persons to take a look. So we as a normal citizens, we actually we suppose that these who are presenting us are giving us the information, but in this case, there hasn't been even started any discussion, so it's worrying.
Mm. Another common critique that I have, I don't remember where I saw this, but I saw it when I was researching everything, and it might have been in the interview with Nina, but also the rapid progression they are expecting for the production and actually having coming up with the plant in already 2026 is, would you guys say that there's like, they don't feel like they're incentivized to make it simple so that people can understand, because that might jeopardize how quickly they want to go through with their plans, maybe?
Highly possible, but it also could be the reason that this IED directive, which comes to industrial exhausts, is in the editing process next version, and it is the, even though it's like it is, it will be more strict. Mm. And it may be so that poisons to the sea are more or less like forbidden in the next version. So it has been in the round of EU progress maybe 2 years now or three. It takes time, but there are versions already. We know that there are links to things like zero emission something. Mm. So there may be a reason to be in a hurry.
Mm. That sounds scary, but from a pessimistic thought, that sounds really plausible as well, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's all about money. These companies are making money. They are not any environmental nice foundations.
Yeah, that's the issue at the same time. Because
Especially
in our course, we've been...
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt you. Especially in our course, we've been trying to find links between... because as a person who's been writing 4 learning journals so far with our course... about overcoming pessimism of these companies actually making change that would be really good for our environment, but instead you still see them that, okay, they're still pushing the envelope in order to make sure that all their stakeholders win in a profit sense and their company wins in a profit sense, but still, how can they actually make this change into, instead of letting waste material or, as you mentioned, stuff gets into the sea, then they still keep on trying to do things in a financial sense and seem green. That's kind of the annoying sense, that it's difficult to be optimistic in this sense, which is good why there are movements bringing things like this up, like yours, or associations, as you mentioned.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
But we haven't forgotten about Rashi. She also has some questions, so I'd like to bring her in here. The meanwhile, would you like to start with your third question?
Yeah, I finally got the opportunity to interview the veterans. Thank you, Benjamin.
No worries, thank you.
So while we were already talking about money, and I feel this is more like a greenwashing tactics where the bad is actually outweighing the good. Plus, in the course, we have read about avocado plantation. Then Benjamin also talked about the EV example. So Nina and Essa, what are the specific concerns you people feel, like your community feels or sees arising between the Blaster Green Steel as well as the interest of the local residents of Inku? Like, could you maybe mention specific concerns they have?
I could say about my own concerns as a farmer and as an organic farmer. So I have to start with saying that my farm is very well situated, not so close to the where the steel plant is planned. But to me, I'm most concerned of the soil, I'm passionate about soil, and I do permaculture courses, and so, and I can't talk about the other farmers, but. But as Essa said, the environmental poisons that this is the big concern, and also the Baltic Sea.
Yeah.
And the enormous increase in cargo ship traffic, for example, and the highways that will be built, and all the other things that comes with this steel plant, not only the steel plant itself.
That's then an extra. But really, if I may continue, I know that some of the, let's say, people who have children has been noted, some comments that, let's say, the pipe of the factory, however green is on the CO2 wise, let's forget it, but steel industry, because of the processes, if they do XYZ type of end products, they have to use certain chemicals which are quite poison. And in the end, for instance, you let in the air, even you try to clean it, lead, cadmium, quicksilver, and the pipe is only, let's say, less than 5 kilometers from the schools and kindergartens in the wind direction. So the first hit of all the shit goes to on the kids. And the city. So it's so unbelievable situation that you cannot like even think it. And if you know that lead is the substance that it's so poison that you cannot even give the amounts that you can intake without complications.
Correct.
Especially for children.
Correct. I was actually so curious, particularly about water and air pollution, that already I had the question framed, but I guess you answered here as well. And it's actually very, very, very alarming, especially just when it comes to kids, and the lead is actually very harmful substance. So even though the CO2 impact is a good sign, but then there are so many hidden problems that this steel plant may bring in. And you've rightly pointed out the air quality as well. Even the, as Nina mentioned, that the cargo shipment have increased. So that also leads to water pollution. Yeah, so that's pretty insightful and alarming at the same time. So Benjamin, if you could go to the next question.
Yeah.
So actually, sometime back, I was reading this article on the Blaster website, I believe, where they talked about the economic benefits that the project, that the development is going to bring. For example, I remember that the INCO investment will employ directly around 1,200 employees, plus the business will go around go up to 4 billion euros. While these look like big numbers, from your perspective, how do you weigh these economic potential benefits against the potential risks? Does the benefits outweigh the risks? Or it's vice versa, and you, as environmental activist, how do you view it?
Well, first of all, also we know nothing about the potential economical benefits. We have no facts about it. It's just the things that we assume and the things that we guess. And if we had some facts, so how do you price then clean air and clean water and the Baltic Sea? What is there a price? And can we talk about money?
I would like to put the figures to these new working places. There is like the guess. I think it's a very good estimate. Maybe 1,200 working places. We made just on purpose a calculation if this in your future could be in the spot and having this kind of CO2 very low total in the year where Finland has been reaching the goals of dropping the CO2 levels to 21 million, which is mentioned and then we can calculate the CO2 per working place, like if you may know that CO2 can be calculated per capita or whatever, but we calculate it per working place. So this factory represents about 85,000 working places average CO2 output. So in that sense, either it's not at all a good idea for like any Finnish level thing. So it's put the context for the amount of how much per working place the CO2, even it's lower, it represents.
Oh, 55,000
plus.
Yeah, I think it's very different to think about this way, like a CO2 per capita, because when we read the articles which throws numbers to us, we just think that, oh, yeah, it's giving us business or oh, my God, it's employing so many employees. But actually, at the backside of it, that's where actual business lies when you're seeing the opportunity cost. And yeah, rightly said that opportunity cost looks high, like who's going to price it, as Nina mentioned. So that's quite a thing to ponder upon. Next question, please, Benjamin.
Yes.
I think you already mentioned about the air and water quality in terms of Baltic Sea and then the quality per capita. So I think we can go ahead. Yes, so I was, while we are already talking about the greenwashing and how it's all, what it's actually showing prima facie, it's very different. Are there any initiatives or are there any proposals that you have considered to address the economic needs of the Inku people while minimizing the environmental disruption? Because in the previous question, we saw that there's no actual economic benefits that coming in with this development. So is there any other development strategy or proposal that you people are part of? If you could share some thoughts on that.
Talking of the fact that we have an area in Ingo that is planned for industry, so we are proposing to having a more diverse industry. Ingo is a small municipality with less than 6,000 inhabitants, so we shouldn't lean on one big employer, but we should have industries that can use our high-tech expertise that we have in this country. But most important is that we should have industries that really are environmental friendly or green industries, whatever that is. As we have heard, it's not this one.
Oh, yes. As I like to
precisely like I was listening, Nina. So precisely so. These are like heavy industry, old-fashioned working places. That's like almost opposite that there is a claim that we have good educated persons available and so forth. The Finland education level means something totally different. So we can have much, much more better working places anywhere. And we are in a pendling kilometers from Helsinki or capital area, so it's no problem. So we can have whatever persons outskirts of capital area or even in skirts.
Great. I think that's really interesting to know, like, these are the strategies and how you're part of the plan for the industry, or like the proposal. So that is kind of a little hopeful. And also, like, because I am new to sustainability, I was getting a little skeptical hearing all these numbers and then hearing you that, you know, this is not as great as it seems. But then there are also solutions, like you mentioned, Plan for Industry and other initiatives which are actually working and which can actually help do better for the society. So it was really interesting to hear you and gain experience, like extensive knowledge from you people. Benjamin, do you have anything else to ask? I think I'm done.
I can show this final slide here, but basically one of my thoughts I came up with is that basically, like, even if a company do say that, okay, we have to let this kind of material go into the water because, or in the air, because this is what we provide after all. But I feel it's really ridiculous that can even be seen as something acceptable, because if everything that you do is that you say we want to produce this green steel, and then you want, because it's more sustainable and it's better for the future, and the whole gist of it is that we want to leave a better planet for future generations, so why should we ruin the future generations in the process as well? So that feels kind of complicated as a thought here at the end, but
yes, we could talk about green against green, that we have to kind of destroy nature to save nature, and and it doesn't work that way.
And actually we did it, sorry, I did many sentences because why I felt to the first, so we know the facts and figures. So we didn't even mention that that Finland is bound to have this sea under good level in EU agreements by 27, and we don't have any extra time. And this very around the Inco water is two steps below the good, so it cannot stand any more anything, and so forth. So these all things are outside of these discussions, like many other things. So it will be costly, maybe. I don't know if there comes any consequences if we don't feel this. It's the same with many other countries. So it was agreed that to have this good water quality in Europe, originally it should have been 2015. It has been postponed many times, but the final time is 27. And Finland has been agreed to achieve it.
Yeah, and that comes to think about how associations or initiatives like yours are important, because you guys mentioned the Baltic Sea, for example, and how we as society and how the media reacts straight away in a proactive, oh no, a big oil spill in the Baltic Sea, this is a very bad thing. But then when we can hear already an estimate that there will be issues that will be let out into our environment as a result of the building and the process that has the that the factory actually emits by itself, then why can't we reactively work for change as well? Which is why I really feel that you're doing something really important by bringing attention to the matter.
Yeah, and Finland, we are like you all are there now studying, and will be experts on your field. Finland is super good in many and also technological fields that our actually goal should be really to show the way to others and if possible to export better technology and solve the issues in many places, so that really the global problems can be solved, not to continue something here locally, but first deal with the existing Finnish steel factories to meet the future standards. That should that's it's already in the Finnish scale strategies, but it's on the waiting list. So it's a kind of ridiculous for the another company to come here and start to build more. So it's very interesting situation, let's put it that way. I don't curse.
Yeah. I guess we could end this discussion with a final question, which would be more centered around, like, how do you see the future of your movement in the, like, well, now it's a big period because of the timetable we mentioned earlier with them trying to make it until 2026. But what's your, like, immediate, like, future, what you think that will happen and how you would like it to go?
This was the question that is very hard, that has no answer. But I guess we are going to work even harder.
Yeah.
Aren't we, Esa?
Yeah. People are, I think it's fair that every people can have that kind of information that they can digest. And there is already in the Facebook registered readers or participants about 600. And we have been having the 2000 plus readings weekly. I think the max was about 3000. That means more or less like almost half. They are not from Inco, but anyway, about half of the population are to some kind of level aware of this and start thinking and maybe discussing at home or with friends and so forth. And we don't expect anybody to start reading the environmental plan, it's very hard. It's well done, but it's even hard for engineers. I think it could be even purpose of that to make it like that. But the facts and figures are there. We just show them up.
Yeah, I could just add that I'm really proud of the work that we are already doing, and we just go on doing it.
Yeah, I mean, it's very we are happy that you're doing this, because I mean, even if you read the news, you might miss these things if you're not from that certain area. So it's really important that you guys raise awareness, and we thank you very much for participating in our podcast. Do you, Rashi, have any concluding thoughts?
As the first timer in this whole realm of sustainability and hearing from veterans like you, it was actually very inspiring. The major takeaway for me was, despite having so much of fuss around, you know, greenwashing and prima facie, it looks good. But then I also have a hope, looking at your movement, that maybe I could also do something good at an individual level or at a community level to make change. And it's really inspiring to hear from you people. That's my concluding word. Thank you so much.
Yeah, sounds good. Keep on studying, and don't believe what your first time here. Take a better look and learn what's behind. We have to believe in the future, that we can make the changes, and technology improves all the time and so forth. We have to, because of the coming generations.
That is very much true.